hello and welcome to the Informed Traveler Podcast, part of the Informed Traveler Radio Show, which is heard each week on Chorus Radio. It's a travel podcast where our goal is to help you become a more informed traveler. And I'm your host, Randy Sharman. On our show this week, are you up for a challenge? We've got a couple of challenges that we're going to talk about this week. One is from Banff and Lake Louise Tourism called the hashtag Roam in the Wild Challenge, which we will talk about in a few minutes to find out what it entails and how you can participate. The other is from Tourism Saskatchewan, where they've got their hashtag Explore Saskatchewan Challenge going on to give you some ideas on how to explore their province this summer. So we'll learn more about that as well. Plus, we'll talk about camping and a new survey from Hip Camp, which found, among other things, that people prefer camping with their pets more than their kids or parents. So we'll chat about that and camping in general. But to begin, as I mentioned, we're going to talk with the folks from Banff and Lake Louise Tourism about their hashtag Roam in the Wild Challenge, which is designed to promote transit use and ease some of the congestion in the park. To find out what it entails and how you can participate, we're joined now by David Mattis, Director of Events and Animation with Banff and Lake Louise Tourism. The website is explorethepark.ca. Hi, David.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Before we get into the Roam in the Wild contest with Roam Transit, just tell me about Roam, how it works.
Yeah, for sure. So Roam Transit's the regional transit for Banff National Park. It operates bus service from Canmore to Banff as a regional route. So if you're staying in Banff or Canmore and want to get to Banff, or if you're staying in Banff and want to get to Canmore, there's a bus route that services that. They provide the bus service in and around the town of Banff to all the local attractions in the area. They also provide the bus service that connects Banff to Lake Louise.
And it's pretty easy to use. Like, I'm looking on your website right now, roamtransit.com. Basically, you pick the day that you're going to be in Banff, pick the route that you want to do, and, you know, reserve your spot, right?
Yeah, for sure. So a couple of different bus services that I can tell you about. And there is one website that pulls it all together. So if you're interested in traveling to Banff by transit, or if you're looking to travel around the park, all of the information on transit is located in one location, and it is called explorethepark.ca. And so, yes, you can go to Roam Transit to get specific information on Roam Transit, but encourage travelers to go to explorethepark.ca because it has all of the transit options on it. Once you get into town, Onnit drops you off at the Roam Transit hubs in the downtown core. From the Roam Transit hubs in the downtown core, you can get on Roam Transit and you can visit the attractions around Banff, like the Sulphur Mountain Gondola, the Cave and Basin, the Hot Springs, Lake Minnewanka. You can also get on the bus that will take you to Lake Louise. And from there, you can connect to the park's shuttles at the Lake Louise Ski Resort parking lot that will take you to the Lake Louise Lakeshore and Lake Minnewanka. Three services all interconnected.
So let's talk about Roam in the Wild, the contest that Roam Transit is running. How does it work? Who can enter? What do I win?
Awesome. So the basic idea is it's a social media challenge designed to encourage Calgarians and visitors at large to take transit. The collaboration between Town of Banff, Parks Canada, and Banff Lake Louise Tourism. It runs from June 28th, so it's already launched, through to August 15th. Two ways to enter. One, when you're in destination, you can safely capture a picture of a Roam bus in the wild, just out in and about the destination, mm-hmm. and share that on your Instagram or Facebook feed with the hashtag Roam in the Wild. Or you can simply comment on a Roam in the Wild post on the Banff Lake Louise Tourism's Instagram page, Banff Town's Instagram, or Roam Transit's Instagram. And there are $1,500 worth of prizes available, including a grand prize that includes two nights accommodation in the destination, two Roam Transit super passes, and a restaurant voucher for $300.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. And so can anyone enter?
Anybody can enter. Absolutely. You can enter multiple times as well.
So it doesn't matter where you live. If you're just a visitor from out of the country, even, you can still enter.
Absolutely.
Nice. Well, it sounds so simple. You can find all the details.
All the information on traveling and transit, exploredpark.ca. For the contest, go to @Banff_Lake Louise. And our Instagram page provides those details.
It's the Rove in the Wild contest. You can find out more information about getting to Banff, Lake Louise area at explorethepark.ca or roametransit.com. And David Mattis is the Director of Events and Animation with Banff Lake Louise Tourism. Always a pleasure to chat, David. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Randy. Appreciate the time.
Well, camping season is underway now, as many campers have or will soon be enjoying the great outdoors. With that, the folks from Hip Camp have come out with their State of Summer report, which has some unique findings. So joining us now to share some of the findings and to talk about camping in general is Teg Singh Bedi. He is the general manager for Hip Camp Canada. HipCamp.com is the website. Hi, Teg.
Hi, Randy. Thank you very much for having me.
We're going to talk a little bit about the State of Summer report that Hip Camp came out with, but before we do that, just tell me about Hip Camp and what you do.
Hip Camp is the world's largest provider of outdoor stays. We pride ourselves in opening access to private lands to folks that want to get outside, camp, glamp, or take their RVs into really like unique, discreet locations all across the country and in fact across the globe. We are now live in 4 countries, the U.S., Canada, Australia, and the U.K. And I have been working with Hip Camp for the last year and a half to helping build the business here in Canada.
Nice. It seems to me that you're sort of filling a void here, because anytime in the spring, when Parks Canada, the provincial parks open up their campsites, it seems like it just gets full immediately. And so you're filling kind of that void, aren't you?
Totally. What we've found is that, when folks want to book campsites at the peak of the season, the pandemic has had such a large impact on the industry, where more and more people want to get outside, and it's more and more difficult to snag your previously favorite spots, in the provincial or national park system. So what we do is really, yes, provide something that's complementary to that, where, the sharing economy has been blown up in several different parts of, the consumer's mindset, and camping is no different. What we do is we have folks that own land, farmland, wineries, cottages, lakefront properties, even forest land, but that's privately owned and was previously inaccessible to the public. We work with a community of hosts, and today we have thousands of hosts across all provinces in Canada, and they open up their land for folks to come in and camp on their properties. In return, they receive a small fee, and that fee then helps them to conserve and protect their land moving forward as well. So what we think is it's really a win-win situation where campers can get access to, really unique properties that they previously didn't have access to and get to explore parts of the country that they didn't have access to. And for our hosts, this provides a really good way for them to share their land with the community and also make some money while doing it, which then helps them, preserve, conserve, and take care of their land.
Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, like if you're camping on a family farm, you can learn a little bit about the farming community. If you're camping on a winery, well, that would be a lot of fun too. It's not just a normal campsite, is it?
Yeah, and that's what's really unique about Hip Camp. We have, our hosts play a really key role in the whole experience, and our hosts have their own stories. Their land has its own stories of how they've used the land previously, and very much like you mentioned, we have blueberry farmers that are happy to have some campers come out and pick blueberries. We have folks that have a hobby or animal farms, in which case you'd get to understand a little bit about that. Agritourism in general has, seen a really big boom over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
These farmers and communities are actually really happy for, typically urban campers to come in and, share and partake in their rural and farming lifestyles, and for the communities to get to know each other a little bit better. So, we've seen a big surge in that. And, the pandemic has been so tough for everybody that's been living in cities. People have generally felt cramped. And this has just provided folks an incredible opportunity to get outside, to see, a different aspect of the world. And doing so while enjoying in, what they're previously used to in terms of camping or RV camping. And in many cases, some of our hosts also have, structures or glamping options available where they may have a yurt or a canvas tent already available, so you don't have to, pitch in your own tents.
Let's talk a little bit about your State of Summer report that came out here. Some interesting findings. Not surprisingly, one of the things that came out of this was the high price of gas, leading people to stay closer to home, which if you wanted to do some camping, that's possible, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, we found that almost 94% of Canadian campers say that sky-high fuel prices are going to impact their travel plans this year. And nearly half then say, that they won't want to roam beyond about 450 kilometers. That's not always easy to make happen within the provincial park or national park system, just given availability. And again, that's where we come in, because we have, typically hundreds of options near every major city and town, within 200 to 300 kilometers driving distance of those places. So certainly I think that, rising fuel costs are top of mind for everyone. And while this is, the halfway balance between staycationing, but there are several options still near where folks are based, where they can still get outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get far enough away from home that it feels like a vacation. Another interesting finding I thought was a little bit humorous was that people would rather camp with their pets than their children or parents. I suppose it's not really surprising there. People love their pets, right?
Yeah, certainly a little bit humorous. But I'd say it was a little bit surprising. We found that campers are six times as likely to camp with their pets as they are with their parents. So I think that's signaling what folks are looking to do when they get outside and perhaps get away from having spent as much time with family as they might have during the pandemic if they were, living close by or otherwise. And I think pets we find are even more popular than taking your kids camping. What we find is our number one filter that's used on hipcamp.com when folks are filtering for properties is, the pet-friendly filter.
Mm-hmm.
I think folks love their pets and are excited to get outside with them this season.
Yeah, it kind of goes hand-in-hand with one of the other findings that pet-friendly stays matter quite a bit. Is it too late to book a site this summer? Is there still spaces available? And if you wanted to host, is it still time to get your property listed?
Yes. So one of the things that we pride ourselves with is the fact that we have grown our host community and continue to actively grow our host community right now as well. So while we have a lot of our sites that are already booked up for many of the upcoming weekends over the summer, we actively are adding, hundreds of hosts to the platform every month. And because of that, we always have more availability, and we have, thousands of hosts that are already in our sign-up process right now that are in the process of becoming hosts. So this community is going to continue growing. So in advance of this season, definitely we'll have folks that are listening in to check out hipcamp.com. We're certain that they'd be able to find something, in the vicinity of what they're looking for, just because we're actively growing out our host community. And then for anybody who, has land where they'd love to share their land with the community and allow campers or RVers to come on their property and earn some money while doing it. We are also, you know, actively always looking for to add hosts to the platform. So they can also go to hipcamp.com and just check on the host page and start the sign-up process there.
And that's where you can also check out the State of Summer Report from HipCamp. HipCamp.com is the website. Tag Singh Bedi is the General Manager for HipCamp Canada. HipCamp.com again is the website. Great chatting with you, Tag. Thank you.
Great chatting with you, Randy. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, Tourism Saskatchewan has come out with a fun way to promote and help you with some ideas to explore their province this summer. It's called the Explore Saskatchewan Challenge, and joining us now to tell us more about it is Heidi Westling. She is a travel trade and marketing consultant for Tourism Saskatchewan. TourismSaskatchewan.com is their website. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Randy.
How has the summer been so far as for tourism, people coming to Saskatchewan to visit? Has it been busy? Do you wish you had more visitors?
Well, you know, it has been very busy, and we're definitely seeing that pent-up demand for travel, both from locals and for those coming across Canada and flying in. And how we know that for sure is not only seeing folks on the road, and especially those RVs, but also our visitor inquiries remain really strong as people are looking for vacation ideas within the province. So, yeah, we're looking forward to welcoming everybody back.
Mm-hmm.
Great to see.
Well, one good source is Tourism Saskatchewan's website, TourismSaskatchewan.com. There's lots of things on there to give people ideas. And one is your Explore Saskatchewan Challenge. That's the hashtag Explore Saskatchewan. Tell me about it. How does it work? What do I win?
Well, it is actually in our second year running. Last year, we focused all on parks and getting people out and about, in large part introducing new folks who might be visiting Saskatchewan or new residents, and in large part also reintroducing the residents to what we have in our backyard. So last year was awesome. It was so much fun. Got so much positive feedback that we decided to do it again, and this time focusing on attractions. So effective from May 29th through to August 15th, we have the Explore SAS Challenge, which is really just a free mobile-friendly gamified savings program. And it's really the ultimate to-do list for folks. If they're looking to see what they want to explore in Saskatchewan, this is a great place to go and check out and sign up for, and it's absolutely free. And to your point, Randy, there are prizes. So there are 40 participating attractions throughout the province, everywhere from as north as Missinippi to as south as Cornac. We've got Cypress Hills in the west, all the way to Carlisle in the east, and everything in between. So lots of places for people to select. The more check-ins they make, the more ballots they get to qualify for monthly prizes.
Cool. So is it an app that they download in their smartphone, and then how does it work that way?
Well, it's not officially an app in that you don't have to download anything, but when you sign up, click on sign up on our website, and it uploads essentially. It's a link with everything that people need to know of where to go and how to check in. And also there's great savings and offers available from the participating attractions. So it's not even just check-ins. People can get something right off the top, whether it be a discount for admission or maybe a discount off items at the gift shop. It's really very diverse and hopefully suited for a lot of different demographics.
Yeah, well, again, if you go on the website, it kind of explains at TourismSaskatchewan.com, but there's different things. There's restaurants involved, so if you obviously everyone has to eat. There's the Black Fox Farm and Distillery in Saskatoon. that's involved and all kinds of different other attractions. Let's just run through a couple of examples. Now, you did mention in that, see, I'm from Saskatchewan, and there's a lot of areas that I'm familiar with, or at least I've heard of, but there's one area that I haven't heard of, and that's the area, Missinippi. Yeah, tell me about that area.
So it is beyond Prince Albert National Park. It's about 4.5 hours north of Saskatoon, and it is truly God's country. It is they have enormous amounts of water, great for a huge fish. And so if fishing is your thing, that is where you're going to want to be. There's also a canoe product. And the one person, the one business in particular, Churchill River Canoe Outfitting, the person you're going to want to talk to is Rick from there. And he can tell you all about the canoeing and what's offered there. But he's one of the participating attractions. And you can actually get a discount to pick up one of his books when you go out there to explore. But it's just pristine wilderness, amazing wildlife, and definitely great fishing opportunities.
Nice. Well, that's one area. Any couple of other areas that you'd like to highlight?
You know, my favorite part, or one of my favorite parts, there's many, but one of my one of the places that I love to go is a Cypress Hills location.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Trio 6, which is also one of the participating attractions. And so you can go zip lining. But I just love Cypress Hills for the surprise element. Anybody traveling along Highway 1 from Alberta or from Saskatchewan to Alberta will know that highway very well. But what they may not know is if they just get off that main highway and travel south just a little bit, just about 45 minutes, they would reach Cypress Hills Interprovincial Park. It's a park we share with Alberta, but it is just absolutely amazing. And it also has the highest point in elevation between Labrador and the Rockies. So completely unexpected terrain-wise. And the best part is that there are no mosquitoes.
That's awesome. Gotta like that.
I love that.
It is a very pretty part of the province, that's for sure. Another place I haven't heard of is Southern Prairie Railway in, Ogama.
Yes. So that they offer not only train tours, but they also do themed dinners. And that's also a very fascinating attraction. Super cute small town, Ogama. They've got an excellent pizzeria there where they make pizza out of the stone oven, fresh to order. It's just a charming little place to go. And again, one of those gems in southern Saskatchewan that you have to get off that main highway to go and check out. So highly recommend. The kids are going to love it.
Get off the main highway is the theme I'm hearing.
It's so true.
One that's kind of famous for people from Saskatchewan is the Prairie Dog Drive-In Theater. It's still going?
It certainly is. And, you know, talk about a blast from the past. You know, whether you're new to the idea of drive-in theaters or you've been going to one all your life since childhood, it's just there's something special about watching a movie outside in your vehicle. I think the popcorn tastes better, the pop tastes better. it's just amazing. But you definitely want to have a nap, right? Like, those are late movie nights, so plan your day accordingly. But definitely check out the drive-in movie theater. It won't be something you would soon forget.
Yeah, it takes a while for it to get dark, so.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, gotta love those long days.
There's a couple of areas in Humboldt, which is just outside of Saskatoon, that that have some interesting places to visit.
Yeah, Humboldt is it's really a quaint little city, not far from Saskatoon. It's about an hour and a half from Saskatoon. And again, they have four of these sites, the original Humboldt Historic Site, the Water Tower, District Art Gallery, and the museum. So, you know, when you're there in Humboldt and not far from Saskatoon, whether you make it a day trip or an overnight, you get definitely a few things to check out there. They have a great mini golf and an awesome bakery, the Dutch Oven Bakery. It's one of my favorites in the province. So, yeah, Humboldt is another one of those gems, and a lot of German heritage in that area. So.
Mm-hmm. And there's some national historic sites throughout the province, too, if you're a history buff like myself, because Batoche is another one that I recall going there as a kid in school.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is such a popular spot for kids' trips. That is for sure. And I know that they have a number of events throughout the year, so definitely check out their website before you go and visit. But they also have a little restaurant on site, and I would recommend their Bannock Burger. That is kind of a neat little taste of some Indigenous culture.
Mm-hmm.
So you mix in the history with a little bit of tasty food, and you've got yourself a great outing.
Speaking of events, you got a number of events throughout the province as well. Regina's got their exhibition coming up, same with Saskatoon, right?
Yes, yes. Again, wonderful time for families to come and enjoy the cities. Both of the cities are bustling with events again this year. It's so great that post-pandemic, when things weren't available for events, and now things are starting to pick up again. So mm-hmm. you're feeling that great energy, and it's really great to see people out and about and taking advantage of these events that are being held. And, you know, it's one of those things that you really look forward to in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's hoping for good weather throughout the summer or for the rest of the summer. You can find out all about the Explore Saskatchewan Challenge, hashtag Explore Sask Challenge. It's on the Tourism Saskatchewan website, tourismsaskatchewan.com. And Heidi Westling is a travel trade and marketing consultant for Tourism Saskatchewan. It was fun chatting, Heidi. Thank you.
My pleasure, Randy. Thank you. Have a great summer.
And that is this week's Informed Traveler podcast. Remember, this is the podcast version of the Informed Traveler radio show, which is heard each week on Chorus Radio. You can find more information on the show at our website, theinformedtraveler.org. So thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, let us know, leave a review, tell a friend, or you can drop me a line. My email is randy@theinformedtraveler.org. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/informedtraveler or follow me on Twitter at informedtraveler.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.